Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Today we have a special guest from Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, Detective William Velick from the Santa Clarita Station in Valencia, California. And we're going to be talking about drugs and children, and he's going to be cluing you in as parents on things that you should look out for regarding drugs and the paraphernalia, etc. Okay, but before we get started on that, I want to send a shout-out regarding the California Highway Patrolman that got killed recently. You know, people do not realize about the history of the California Highway Patrol. They've actually been around 90 years. This is their 90th anniversary. They had intended to have a celebration on the 90 years. Unfortunately, with the death of one of their patrolmen, they decided not to have it. But I just want you to know that in the 90 years that they've been around, they have actually 220 officers who have fallen. They had a woman that actually was killed as well. And now we have this other officer who died not too long ago within the last week. He was 33 years old, had only been on the job for 4 years, Andrew Moyer Jr. And I believe when I researched this, I believe he's the first African-American patrolman to actually be killed in the line of duty with the California Highway Patrol. As I stated, they also had a woman as well who had been killed in action, unfortunately. So I think her year was 19. Let me just get this for you. Let's see. Oh, in 2013, by the way, it was the only year that they haven't had a death. From 2000 to 2019, every single year they've had a death. The first woman got killed in November of 1996. So I want to send a shout out to them at this time. I want people to understand that even though they're working the highways, it appears, and they do a lot with traffic, they still have a huge responsibility out there for the general public, and I don't think that they get enough credit for the things that they do. They've had their fallen officers, like I said, 220 at this point. So I wanted to send that shout out. Hey, we got some emails I want to talk to you about as well. Jim, we live in Ohio and very distraught at the Dayton, Ohio massacre. I'm not sure if you heard about an 18-year-old that got arrested with 25 guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. Jim, he was 18 years old. You're right. Parents need to be checking on their kids, keep talking to them. Please do us a favor. Keep talking about it. Keep sending the messages. We're going to keep listening, and hopefully others will also. Mike from Columbus, Ohio. Mike, I did actually hear about that. The individual had 10,000 rounds, 25 guns, 18 years old, and he had assault-style weapons as well. And he did get charged because he's been on the Internet. Just to let you know, the FBI did track him for approximately 6 months about things he was putting out there on the Internet. And this goes back to what I tell listeners all the time and people that I speak of in front of these groups. You've got to be paying attention to what your children are doing. And by the way, as always, if you have any questions or you want to call in, we've got some interesting topics to talk about today. You can give us a call at 818-602-4929. Again, that's 818-602-4929. Or you can email us, as so many people do, at listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. And if you want to get on our email blast, we send it out every week about the upcoming topics. Text POTS Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email. All right? Again, text it to POTS Associates to 22828 and then enter your email address as well. Yes, they took him in custody. He's been arrested. And when they arrested him, he said that the post that he had put on the Internet was a joke. But he had said because of the shooting down in Texas a number of years back at the Branch Davidian, you guys might remember that 1993 standoff, and he is saying that the end result of that, in his opinion, was to shoot all law enforcement officers. So he actually posted that. So they did arrest him, you know, regarding that kind of threat. And when they arrested him, he said it was only a joke. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but that joke is not so funny to some of us that are out there. So we'll see what happens, but thanks, Mike, for writing in. Next email, Jim, just wanted to say I bought your book and loved it. Nice size to fit in my purse. Ordered 3 more for family. Keep up the good work. Sue from Baltimore, Maryland. For those of you that don't know, I just put out a book called Domestic Terrorism Safety Tips, and you can find it on lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. And, you know, hopefully you'll get it. There's a lot of interesting things in there for sure. Okay, we're going to turn our attention right now to my guest, Detective William Bellick. William, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me out today.
It's my pleasure. You know, in the show in the past, we have actually discussed some things with children and drugs, and one of the emphases that I've always made is about how parents have to take responsibility for some of this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so, you know, a few weeks ago, I had talked about some of the drugs and things of that nature. I actually met Detective Bellick at his station in Santa Clarita. We went out there for like an open house, I guess is what it was.
Yeah.
And so it's an annual event that they had, and we went out there, and, you know, I was very impressed by the presentation that he did, that we were talking about these different drugs, and that's why I asked him about being on the show, because it came right in line with so many things that I've already talked to my audience about. Some of these issues with these kids, you know, later on doing things like maybe this 18-year-old, I don't know, it stems possibly from drug use, you know, when they're younger, parents not paying attention to them. So I'm going to kind of turn this over to our Detective Bellick real quick so we can talk about some of these things. So first of all, tell us, how long have you been with the department?
I've been on the job for 19 years now, getting close to 20. And for the last 9 years, I've been working at Santa Cruz Station with our juvenile intervention team. The team's primary focus is, as it says, juvenile intervention. We started with drug use and our juveniles in Santa Clarita. We've expanded to doing more outreach with our young adults. We just found that the kid, not just the kids, but just young adults are still living at home, transitioning into adulthood, are still struggling with some of the decision-making, being on their own, and the drug use was continuing. So our target demographic is up to about 25 years old now.
Are a lot of the stations having the same type of program, or is this something unique for Santa Clarita?
This is unique with Santa Clarita. In 2010, the city and the station got together, and we saw an increase concern with the opioid epidemic that was going across the nation. So the city of Santa Clarita sponsored this a trial team for us, and the trial's gone 9 years now, and we're going to expand hopefully next month. We're going to do another pilot project where we're going to try and see if we can expand our team and reach a few more people, with the focus being the drug education and intervention. Our three-prong approach is education, intervention, and enforcement. And the education and intervention are the big piece that I work on, is making sure the community understands, and a big part with the parents understand what it is we're looking at, what they're seeing with their kids, so they can recognize the problem before it gets too big.
And what about at the school level? What's going on? I mean, is there a particular, like, grades 1 through 12 that's more of a concern?
Well, we work closely with our school resource officers. So we have deputies. We have 6 school resource deputies that have an office on each of our comprehensive high schools, working with the Hart School District. And they also work very closely with their feeder junior highs. And then to a lesser extent at the elementary schools. But we've at every high school and junior high campus across the board in our valley, private or public, we've seen drugs come onto campus. So we work quite a bit with our school staff. We do annual teaching with our school staff, whether it be the administrative teams or the campus supervisors that are out, you know, monitoring the kids when they're out in the wild on campus and walking around so that they know what it is they're looking for and it can immediately recognize some of the problems.
And when we think about schools, what about the legalities of searches and searches of lockers and the responsibility of the schools?
That's the responsibility of the school. Okay. We're there to assist. The school staff, the administrative teams, have the same responsibility and rights to search a student as the parents do. So when we give our children to those school administrators, we expect them to take care of our children. And they have the responsibility of keeping them safe, not only from outside threats, but from inside threats, from other students. So with that great responsibility that we give them the latitude to search a backpack, search a locker, search a car if they drove a car onto campus. And the administrators actually have the authority to do that without a warrant or just because they feel they need to because something has triggered them. The deputies will just stand by for safety reasons.
Okay, so they're there for safety, and then they can become the arresting, or the transport, I should say, because I recall transporting versus the arrest because the school makes the arrest?
Yes, if something gets to that level, then right. then the deputies will write the report if a report's necessary. If an arrest does need to be taken, they transport the juvenile to the station, do the booking, release to parents. They'll also work with the students. If there's a student that needs to be placed on a 72-hour hold, we do run into that with the vast number of students that we have. We have well over 20,000 students just in the Hart District.
Mm-hmm.
Our city has 72 school campuses throughout our valley.
Wow.
So we have a lot of students. It's a large city.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that's taken care of by those 6 school resource officers.
Wow, so they got a big job.
They do have a big job out there.
So, as I recall, when I was on the department, there's no search warrants that are necessary for that then?
No, if something gets to the level where we do need to do that, where we're beginning an investigation, we want to go back to somebody's home, or if the student is parking a car off-site, we'll just secure the area, and then the appropriate detective would write the search warrant.
Okay. One of the things that that we talked about when we were out there at the station, it was a few things, but one of the things that I was amazed at is the way that these kids actually mask the drugs and the way that they hide these things. We could talk about that piece first and maybe talk about some of the drugs that they're using as well. What do you think?
A big part of what I do when I do the parent education is teaching parents how to look in a bedroom, how to search a car, what they're looking for. Because for a lot of parents that haven't grown up in a drug culture mm-hmm. and they've never used anything, they don't know what the items are. Even if they have grown up or they did smoke marijuana when they were in school or when they were younger, the drug has changed. With the dispensaries that are there, the medical marijuanas, all the edibles, all the different things that are there, the vaping now, there's so many different things that have changed in the last decade that parents of teenagers that if they used in their teens, it was a long time ago. So teaching parents what to recognize and how to look for things.
Let's talk about the vaping real quick before we get into the other more serious areas. Is vaping dangerous for these kids?
Absolutely. The vaping, one thing that parents don't realize is that you can vape THC. It comes in a standard vape. It doesn't smell like marijuana anymore. They can actually add scents so it smells or tastes like a regular vape. So any of the different, you know, fruity flavors and, you know, very fragrant things that are out there could contain THC. And parents a lot of times don't realize that. And then the concentrations of those that are in it.
Just for our, because we'll talk about some technical things, but there's some parents out there who probably don't know what THC means.
That's the portion, it's the part of the marijuana that actually makes you high.
Okay, all right.
It's a very long chemical word that I will mess up if I
right.
try and pronounce.
Okay, no problem with that. But then you say they come in fruity flavors with the vaping?
Yeah, with the vaping, because they can add the THC uh-huh. to the vapes, and it's the oil, they have the other additives, just like the nicotine now, and they have bubblegum flavor nicotine. They can do the same thing with the THC and change the flavors of it.
Is the purpose of that to mask anything, or is it just a taste?
I think it's just for the people that have made it. It's just a consumer preference. They make okay. things so that their consumer likes it. But then as parents, if we don't know what it is, we don't know what our kids are into.
Mm.
And that's the important part, is we have to know what they're doing. I talk to parents all the time about, you know, going into your child's room, and parents go, oh, well, that's his, you know, that's his space. That's where he wants to, you know, that's his private area. And I tell them, no, they don't have that. We have to be their parent. We have to go in. We have to look. We have to look in their car. If we're providing our children a car and they're driving it around, we need to sit in that car and we need to search it. We need to go through it. If you want to do it with your child, okay, then do it with them. But don't let them know ahead of time that it's going to happen.
I've got a grandson who just started driving his own car. And one of the things I told him also, because he's a football player, so he's not into drugs. He doesn't appear to be and says he's not. But I always tell them, when you're driving that vehicle, be careful of who else is in your vehicle.
Oh, absolutely. And whether it's, you know, drugs or alcohol, if it's in that car, you know, captain of the ship. You know, that's that's where it comes down, and someone's going to get in trouble. And if it starts to go bad, you know, no matter how good your friend is, they're going to leave that stuff behind.
That's right.
If they think they're going to get caught, they're going to leave it behind, and they leave you with it. Now you're alone in the car, and now it's yours. Who else is in the car? Who are you going to blame it on?
So you hear that, parents? Make sure that you tell your children when they're out there driving around, they better know who their friends are. Hey, let's turn our attention now. William has brought a great display here that he and I were going through earlier. This is really incredible. And I believe that we have the display will be able to be seen on LA Talk Radio. So if you go to LA Talk Radio Facebook, you can watch this live, by the way. I should have told you that at the beginning. I forgot to. I was just so excited about William being here today. So go to LA Talk Radio, go to Facebook, and we are on live, all right? So take a moment to do that if you haven't done that, because I want you to be able to see this display board that's up here as well. So, okay, so William, explain. Let's start over here on the left-hand side, because I can see the spoons up there and the other paraphernalia.
This side, like I said, when we first started, we were really looking at the heroin use with the opioid epidemic that's just been across the country. There hasn't been a community in our country that's been immune from it.
Mm-hmm.
But parents and people that aren't into narcotics use don't know what these things are. So we have, you know, I have some spoons, which if you found the spoons in just anywhere in the house, in a car, you'd probably recognize it. The syringes you would recognize, most people would, as being a problem.
Well, let's tell them about the spoons, because I'm looking at these spoons. The spoons are bent, okay? And yeah. Then in the bowl of the spoon, there appears to be where it's kind of like burned, et cetera, as well. Is that a sign? Yeah.
Well, on the bottom of the spoon, you can see where it's burned. The inside the spoon, in the bowl of the spoon, is where the drug was mixed. So this one I got from a heroin user. It's the remnants of black tar heroin that was mixed with water, heated, reduced down, and then drawn into a syringe.
You know, we hear a lot on the news regarding the issue about drugs and drugs coming through our border. Is heroin one of the ones that's coming up through?
Yes.
It is.
It does come. And any of the drugs can come across our borders, whether it be through from the ocean or our southern border. That's where being in California, we have two borders. It's going to come in through those borders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, okay, so the spoons, so what do they do with the spoons? So we talked about that. It's burned on the bottom. So what are we talking about here? What are they doing with that?
They'll usually, with the black tar heroin, which is what these are from, they'll mix it with some water,
mm-hmm.
Heat it up and cook it. So that it melts down so that they can draw it up into the syringe for injecting.
Like with a candle or something like that?
The candle, a lighter.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is they happen to have. It depends on, you know, some people use the candle because they're using their hands. Some will just have a partner with them. Or they get it just with a lighter, and then they can set the lighter down and then use the syringe. But that's why the spoon will be bent, is so that it can sit flat on a table.
Oh,
so that it doesn't spill. So you have to bend it so that you can set it down at some point so you can use your hands to draw it up. So the spoon's got to be able to be stable.
Is this considered a cheap drug?
Relatively, yes. You can start using heroin for less than $10.
See, that's the point that I wanted to make. Because some parents may be saying, well, isn't that awful expensive? So where are the kids getting the money? But less than 10 bucks?
Yeah, ten bucks will get the first few of them high.
Then after that.
Because a usable amount of heroin is 0.02 of a gram. And to buy 0.1 of a gram, so five beginning uses, you can get for $10.
Mm.
So the first time you get high using heroin, you can do it for less than 10 bucks.
Mm. And let me ask you a question. Once they get you hooked, does the number go up after that? Or does it stay pretty consistent?
It stays consistent. Just the amount that you're using goes up. I talked to a heroin addict the other day that was, he said he was smoking about a gram and a half a day. So it's about $150 a day habit, depending on where he's buying it and how much he's buying at a time. But he was smoking it every 2 to 3 hours.
Mm.
And that was his habit. So in that point is when it does start to get expensive, because to do that $100 to $150 to $200 a day, every day. There's not a day off when you're an addict. It's every day, all day. You don't get a day off from spending your money. So if it's a $150 a day habit, you're doing that 7 days a week, all year, all month. You don't get a day off.
Are you finding this at the high school level or the adult level?
That's usually at the adult level. It's rare that we find heroin with our youngsters, our under 18. I can only remember a couple cases in the last 9 years where we've actually gotten heroin off of a high school campus. So it's very rare. And usually when we get that, there's usually some other factors outside the school that are causing it.
Okay, so parents have less of a concern about on a heroin side right now at the young age.
Yeah, I would be more concerned with the marijuana use and pharmaceuticals.
Okay. Well, the pharmaceuticals are a big deal. We'll get to those as well. But I noticed on here, it looks like you have a Q-tip right there. What's that?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I like to show parents is the Q-tip has no cotton on one end. The piece of cotton was removed to be used as a screen or a strainer when drawing the heroin up into the needle, because you don't want your needle to get clogged, so they need to have some sort of screening device. And they'll often use just the little bit of cotton that's off of a Q-tip. So what I teach parents is if you find Q-tips with no cotton on them, it's just a tip you need to look further. Because I've yet in the time I've been doing this for anyone to give me a reason what you would use a tiny piece of cotton like that for a regular purpose. If somebody has that, if they could call and let us know what that purpose is, but I've yet to have anyone tell me that they regularly take cotton off of a Q-tip and use it for something else. It's used on the Q-tip and then thrown away.
Well, my word to the parents would be look in their ears first, because sometimes the Q-tip cotton comes off in the ear. Check the ear first before you get too excited. But at any rate, so look for the Q-tip without the cotton on the end.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you start talking about crack cocaine, is the method very similar to that?
Crack cocaine is usually smoked in a pipe. We have some over here on the side. They're just little straight pipes. Right. With a little screen on it.
All right. Well, we'll wait till we get over there. So then on the needles then.
And any of the drugs can be used in needles. You could use cocaine. You can use meth. Any of the drugs, they can be dissolved and used through a needle. Typically, heroin and maybe the methamphetamine we would see used in a needle. The cocaine, typically we don't see it. You can do it, but typically it's not something that we see.
Yeah. Track marks can also be shown, correct?
Yeah, those are usually pretty easy. If people, the heavy users, you're seeing marks on their arms. Some of our young users and people that are, at least in Santa Clarita, we see people, they don't shoot in their arms. They'll shoot in other areas so they can hide it. So they'll shoot in their legs,
their toes,
things like that, so that they can hide those marks. They don't really start getting the track marks until they're really heavily into it. If you're seeing track marks,
They're heavy.
There's a big problem. I mean, really need to do some interventions fast.
Well, I see. Okay, moving down the line here, it looks like you have a little knife over there in the corner. What is that for?
On the knife, I just show that just because the end of it's burned, and they just use it as a scraping device to clean out any of the stuff that they're using. Just finding a little pocket knife that's very small like that is obviously used, burned up a little bit, or has some dark material on it. Just something to be aware of, so you need to look further, because what are they digging around with?
And I see you also have a paperclip.
Yes, you can actually smoke heroin off the end of a paperclip.
Got to be kidding me. So, it'd be so small. How is that possible?
They'll just use the tar heroin is rather sticky. They'll stick it to the end of the paperclip, and when they heat it, the smoke that comes off of it, they'll use like this straw here, just like it'd be similar to smoking it on the foil. But they're just doing it on the end of a paperclip.
Wow.
So finding a burnt paperclip in your kitchen trash can. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just something for parents to see and go, hey, I need to look further. I need to find out why. There might be a legitimate reason. Oftentimes we'll also see paperclips used in some of these other devices, like in the pipes. The residue that collects on the side of the pipe still has drug in it. So they'll scrape all the residue off and smoke that.
Okay.
So straightened paperclips that are burned. Can be used both ways. So it's just something that I want to show parents to go, hey, it's a clue. What are you looking at? Why is it there? What's the purpose of it?
Right. And I see you also have like a roll. Is that a roll of it? What is that?
That was just a tie off that this particular heroin user that I had. It's just an elastic tie off that he would use to tie off when trying to get a good vein in his arm, as opposed to just your old fashioned shoelace or a belt. This gentleman actually used an elastic tie-off.
Yeah, just to let you guys know what a tie-off is. You guys have probably seen it in the movies where they turn around and they wrap it around, you know, the part above the vein there, so it kind of makes the vein pop up a little bit. So they use something to constricted, basically. I mean, would that be right?
Yeah, it's just like when you're given a blood sample at the doctor's office and they put the elastic band around your arm so they can...
My eyes are always closed. I don't know what to do.
Stick you a little better.
Just kidding. Now, I see you have a piece of balled up foil as well.
Yes. The foil, a lot of our beginning heroin users start off by smoking it. Most of them smoke it on a piece of foil. So underneath, you can see where these small pieces of foil are. But what we find is the balled up foil. They don't keep it nice and flat like I show it here. It's balled up. So if you saw that in the trash can in your child's bathroom, you may not think anything of it. But I told Frank, you have to open it up and see what it was. What did they use this little piece of foil for? Because you can't even, but the only thing that's maybe that small is like an old ding dong. but you can't wrap up a sandwich with that.
Right.
It's just something that I point out for parents to make sure that they're looking at stuff. Again, these simple clues that if you don't know and you're not aware of it, a piece of foil like that or a paper clip or a Q-tip would not normally cause a concern unless you know what to look for.
See, what we're talking about again, awareness.
Yes, and that's the big part that we do with our community outreach is just being aware. I bring these display cases. I have a bigger display case. I have several different display cases we do, and we go talk to PTA groups. I talk to the Lions Club, Elks Club, any community organization. If a neighborhood watch wanted me to come out, you know, any group, if we can get any group, 20 or more together, me or my partner will come out, we'll bring our display cases, and we'll talk to them about what to look for. We try and show up where the people are already at.
Okay. Now, going to the center display now, up in the upper left-hand corner, I see marijuana is the label there. So let's talk about that.
Those are some homemade marijuana pipes that we were able to get off of some youngsters. This is a pen cap, and on the end is actually a socket taken out of probably dad's toolbox.
Like you would put with a socket wrench?
Yes, same on with this one here. The end of it is a off of a socket wrench. They use that to create the bowl to put the marijuana in for actually smoking the plant. These other two are just pen caps, and the metal that they shoved in there is the metal part off of a number two pencil.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, that one right there in the center, that's the where the eraser comes out of.
Yes, so they just take that, put it in a pen cap. The pen cap is hollow. It doesn't take much. This other one was actually made, kid made it at home with, just had some pieces of metal he screwed together and was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In the bigger display case I have, I actually have a pipe made out of an apple.
Really?
Yes.
A regular apple?
A regular apple.
Wow.
So you
Doesn't that get a little ripe after a while, though?
It's a one-use thing, and I always tell parents, you know, if all of a sudden your kid starts eating an apple and it appears hot, like they're burning their mouth on an apple, that's a clue.
That's a clue. But, yeah, so I guess what we want to tell the dads is go and check your socket wrenches to make sure all the ones are still
there. Yeah, if the little ones are missing, you might not have dropped it underneath the car.
Now, on the right side of that, what is that, like a little bong right there? It's a pipe, I guess.
That's a glass pipe. They're for sale in any tobacco shop or what we used to refer to as head shops.
Right.
If you go in, it's a pipe that's legally made, legally sold to smoke tobacco products. And now with the legalization of marijuana, legal for that. They're a little more expensive because of the artwork that's in the glass. Some of them can get very pricey. Some of the bongs, like I have a little bong here that's just a water pipe. Some of them get very large and ornate, so they do get expensive. It's just when I talk to parents about things like that, it's going to a tobacco shop, going to a vape shop. Go look at what these things that you don't want your kids to have. That's how you educate yourself. Walk into the store and talk to the clerk. The clerks are more than happy most of the time, in my experience, to tell you about the products they have. They don't want to see them being used illegally. They don't want to see them get in the hands of our kids. They're selling a product that's now legal to sell, but we have to know what it is. We know what alcohol is. We know what all those things are because we've grown up around it. Some of these other things that are new, that if you didn't grow up with it, you need to educate yourself to protect your children or your grandchildren.
Okay, and then for those of you, those parents that are pillars in the community that don't want to necessarily go walk into one of those shops during the day and get spotted, go ahead and put on that cap and those dark glasses and maybe a fake wig. But get in there and get that education, whatever you have to do, because if they're willing to help, hey, why not take advantage of that? Because I'm looking at something else here. What is this highlighter?
That is a highlighter. the end of it, it does work as a highlighter. It did when I put it in the case, but the back end of it is a pipe.
Wow.
It's manufactured to hide, to be a secretive pipe. So there's plenty of products out there on the market that are made to not look like what they're supposed to be. Like the in the middle, there's the scale there.
Well, wait, before we go further, though, I just want to make sure. So the highlighter is not a regular highlighter you would buy at Staples and then convert it.
No, this is one that is designed like this.
Specifically designed to look like that.
To look like that. The only way you can tell when you pick it up is the back end of it is a little bit heavier because this pipe is metal.
Right. So that's metal?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So if you actually pick it up, you can feel the difference if you're paying attention.
Okay.
But if it's in your kid's backpack or in their pen box and it's just sitting there, you're never going to notice it unless you actually physically picked it up. And that's one of the things parents need to do is they need to touch these things. You can't just look at stuff and expect to know what it is. You have to pick up things. So if you're searching your kid's room or you're searching their purse or their backpack, you have to take things out of it. You have to touch it.
And you know what? When they do that, that's a common sense approach because they'll know what the weight like of a highlighter
is. Yeah, this is much heavier.
Right.
And if you go to use it, one, it does work. So if the kid could use it and be using it in class.
And right in front of them.
Right in front of you, and it works. When the back end is pushed in, you can't tell what it is.
Do they make them in different colors? This one's yellow, but do they make them different colors?
I'm sure they do. This is the only one I've ever found.
Oh, okay. Now, what's below that? Is that a blow? What is that, a blowpipe? What is that?
That is a vape.
That's a vape. Okay.
That's an older vape. We haven't found one quite like this in a while. I built this case a while ago.
Okay.
But this just has the clear part in it there.
Mm-hmm.
Will hold whatever the vape juice is. When we first started getting kids using the wax or the concentrated THC in the vapes, they needed to have one that was glass because they had to get a lot hotter.
Okay.
In order to melt. But now any of them can do the THC. So the products have changed over the years, but it's just a standard vape that can be used to smoke THC stuff.
And what is this blue? That looks like a pill bottle.
Yes, oftentimes that's what the marijuana will come in, is little pill bottles like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're finding pill bottles, oftentimes where we get those found is outside in the trash, in the street near the house. They get dropped. They get tossed out like a beer can, or they're in the floorboard of the car rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
That's where parents will usually notice those.
And then what is these two brown things, right? Those look like the things you use, artificial flowers.
Yeah, that's a grinder. It's a marijuana grinder. You put the marijuana in there, put those two pieces together and spin them around and it'll chop up the marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see that. There's two different shapes there. Okay. Yeah. That's what that is.
Those actually go together, grind up the marijuana so it makes it a powder so you can smoke all of it.
Mm.
So that way there's no residue left. You grind up the powder. Long time ago, we used to call it keef.
Keef? Okay.
I don't know. I haven't heard anyone use that
term. Are you dating yourself?
I am. And it was just they would grind it up into a fine powder before they would smoke it. Uh-huh. I think it was just they could smoke all of it then. There wasn't a chunk left over.
I remember when I was in college and people were smoking marijuana, they would put it in their palms and kind of grind their palms together to do it that way.
Yeah, and it's just to get it smaller so it burns easier.
Right, right. And what is this thing down below called spice? What is that?
Spice, again, we're dating ourselves a little bit.
Okay.
Spice is a synthetic marijuana. Since the legalization, we've seen a lot less of this. But something like this, you can see this one has a monkey on it called Bling Bling Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's just a plant material that's sprayed with a chemical. The chemical mimics marijuana. So it has actual no marijuana in it, but it mimics what marijuana would do to the body. But it's just a man-made chemical.
We keep using the word marijuana being legal, so for those of my managers and supervisors that are out there, let's just take a moment and talk about that. In terms of the workplace, remember something. Marijuana is still an illegal substance because it's still a federally controlled substance, even though in California they've legalized either medicinal use or the recreational use. But in 1996, the California Supreme Court, as well as the United States Supreme Court, both held that employers do not have to accept the use of marijuana in the workplace. So remember, for the workplace, it doesn't apply. It's still the employer can have a policy that anybody that tests positive for marijuana would still be subject to termination. So just to let you guys know, even though we're using the word legal, that it's been legalized, we want you to understand that one piece of that, that in the workplace, an employer can still have a policy saying anybody test positive could be subject to termination. So just to let you know that. Okay, so I see you got, looks. It looks like a cell phone, but above that it says scale.
Yes, this is actually designed, a scale designed to look like a cell phone. Again, it, to remind parents that we have to pick stuff up and look at it. If that was sitting on your child's dresser, you probably wouldn't think twice about it, or sitting in the center console of the car. It looks like a cell phone, but when you open it up, it's a scale. It's a small digital scale used to, for weighing out the drugs.
Wow. These people do get creative, don't they?
Yes.
So now I'm looking at this. You've got pharmaceutical, and I see a couple of things there. So let's talk about that. One is a big bottle. So what, tell me about that.
That is promethazine cough syrup. So it's a cough syrup with codeine.
Which we see regularly. Yeah.
Popularized in rap videos. Often, you know, there's different names for it. But it's just taking a heavy dose of cough syrup. It's a drug. You're going to have a drug effect. I've had kids get together and they have NyQuil parties where they've gotten together. Everyone shows up with a bottle of NyQuil. They're going to drink half a bottle of NyQuil and find out what happens. And they don't know what's going to happen. So it's a scary thing that our kids are willing to do. But part of it is because they see these things in our house. When they're not feeling well, we give it to them. The Benadryl, take this and then go to sleep. It's going to help you sleep. The NyQuil is going to help you sleep. So different things that we as parents give our kids as they're growing up, they no longer have a fear of it, and they're willing to take more of it. So they're willing to drink half a bottle of NyQuil because they've had NyQuil their whole life. We've given it to them as they were growing up. So they don't have that fear of what's going to happen. So we have to pay attention to these things.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about the medicine cabinets. Let's take a moment on that, because one of the things when we went out to the station, you guys were talking about the fact that the medicine cabinet, going in there and getting out the old drugs, and you can take them to the station, et cetera.
Yeah, we do. We used to have, all the stations used to have a collection site that we kept. They're no longer there all the time. We do specific days where we do drug collections. DEA does them twice a year. I think it's coming up in October. I think it's October. The DEA will do one of their annual drug takebacks. So there'll be places all over the country that the DEA will be collecting at different pharmacies.
So
we'll have one at our sheriff station.
I can look that up on the internet to see when it's going to be?
Yes.
Okay.
And we put it out. We'll put it out on our different social media platforms when it's going to be. We work with one of our local pharmacies. We'll have the collection site at the station. So we'll work with the DEA, I believe it's Ralph's Pharmacy, and Santa Cruz Sheriff Station to host one in Santa Cruz. And they're all over the place. But getting the drugs back. Once you're done using your medications, absolutely they need to be out of the house. When I was a kid, and a lot of people still do it, you have a medicine cabinet. It's in your bathroom. All your medicines go in the medicine cabinet. It's just an old habit that we all have. It's something that our grandparents taught us, our parents taught us, and we're just all used to it. But then that's kept all in the bathroom. And the bathroom is the one place in our home that we allow any visitor to go into and have complete privacy for however long they need.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So we're keeping something that's very dangerous in a space that we allow somebody to have complete privacy. And maybe we don't know everybody that comes to our house. Maybe we don't know what some of our kids' friends are doing.
Or social gatherings.
Yeah, and you can't look at somebody and recognize them as a drug addict, as somebody that has, you know, a substance abuse problem. So having access to that can be dangerous. So we need to change our habits. All of our prescriptions need to be put somewhere else. They need to be in another location where we can, and then get rid of them when we're done with them.
And don't flush them down the toilet.
No, that's not good for the environment.
Right. Okay, let's keep moving because I'm watching the time also. Methamphetamine. So tell me about that. Meth.
We still get, it's probably still one of the most abused drugs that we see, is probably one of our more common arrests is methamphetamine. It's just it's a stimulant. We've had problems with it for decades now. So the standard methamphetamine pipe is just a little glass pipe with a bulbous end on one end, as opposed to the crack pipe, which is just a straight glass pipe. So it's just the difference in those two.
So these are just pieces of, I'm looking at the crack pipe. So those are just really, what, 3 to 4 inch type of just pieces of glass?
Yes. The one all the way on the left there that's clean and has the little silk flower
in
it. Oftentimes if you go into a liquor store, 7-Eleven gas station store, you'll see those little silk roses in a glass, straight glass vase,
right?
For sale by the counter.
Right.
That's a crack pipe.
Really?
Would your wife appreciate you bringing home that and saying, I'm sorry for being late, or I said the wrong thing? That's not much of an apology, at least not in my house. I haven't found any woman
yet. I bring the real flowers.
That yeah, that's not what that's for. So, because all they do is take that out, and they put in a little screen, a little piece of Brillo pad into the end, and now it's a crack pipe.
And there it is.
Pipe. So.
And this hiding spot, what is this down here, the silver thing?
That's just a Heideki.
Oh, the Heideki.
That you would just put, it has a magnet, you would put it underneath your
that's
car.
That's right.
But we need to look in those. If our kids have those, family members have those, we just need to look in them. Because drugs are very small. They can hide something very, very tiny. If we're talking, you know, a tenth of a gram is all we're trying to put away. I mean, we're not even trying to hide anything larger than a sugar packet.
Right.
So we have to look in small spaces. So it's just an example of how small some of these hiding spaces can be.
And what is this can down at the bottom? It says red ginseng on it.
It looks like the can itself is like a soda can, but it's actually a stash can. They're specifically designed and they're sold in all kinds of different brands, whether it be WD-40 or Coca-Cola, Hawaiian Punch, and they're made. It's something that you could use in home security if you're going to be on vacation. You want to hide your jewelry. You could put some rings in there, necklace, close it up, stick it in the back of the refrigerator, and the bad guy's not going to find it. But our kids are going to hide their drugs in that and leave it sitting on their counter in the bedroom, or it's in their backpack, and we're not going to pick it up. So we have to look at it. Pay attention to it, shake it, check the see if it unscrews. If they've had the same soda in their room for 3 weeks, it's probably not a soda.
It's probably not a soda.
So it's just a reminder to parents that we need to look at everything. Anything can be a hiding spot.
Mm-hmm. When you say anything can be a hiding spot, I had a flashback because you can also take an old book. I don't know if you're aware of this, but then it's what you do. You can cut out the center of the pages from the book, and then you close the book and just stick it.
I've had those.
Uh-huh.
I've only found one in my career, but I did find one. And the way I found it, I was actually just searching a child's bedroom. We were just looking, and I would just stand there looking at the room. We couldn't figure out. We were fairly certain that there was something in there. We just couldn't tell where it was. And on the bookshelf in front of that book, the bookshelf was very dusty, except on the shelf right in front of that book. And I just looked at the dust, and I was like, something's wrong with this book.
Right.
Because that book had obviously been the only book taken in and out over, the past month or so, because the dust had settled. So now I look at dust patterns, and there's, all kinds of ways to look at stuff. So it's just paying attention to what's there and actually paying attention to the little things.
Now, over on this side, trying to get a little clearer view of this here, I see, I've seen these before. These are, go ahead.
Yeah, those are all different types of inhalants. The one you're pointing at, it's the old punch balloons that we get for our kids that have a little string on it. Attached to the bottom of it is the blue piece is called a cracker.
Uh-huh.
And inside the cracker, you would find the nitrous oxide propellant that's in that. If you put that in the cracker and you twist it, it just releases the nitrous oxide. Some tobacco stores, and this is where I found these, is you can find the balloon, the nitrous oxide, which is used as a whipped cream propellant.
Oh yeah.
That's usually what they're for, and the cracker, you can find them for sale all next to each other in a cabinet of a tobacco store.
Wow.
When I have found it, I've asked the owners, hey, why do you have this stuff? Do you know what it's used for? Oftentimes they don't know what it's used for, they just know it sells.
Right.
So I've brought to the attention of some tobacco store owners before, so this is what people are doing with it. They immediately took it off their shelves. Sometimes it's just people just don't know what it is. They know it sells, and if you put these things next to each other, people will come in and buy it, and they're making a profit. Once they're educated a little bit and they understand what it is, a lot of our business owners don't want to be involved in this, and they immediately take it off the shelf.
Tell the parents about the empty whipped cream cans also.
Yes, whipped cream cans. If you're finding your whipped cream cans don't work, the same propellant that's in there can get somebody high, so they inhale the propellant without discharging the cream. So if you find your whipped cream is all of a sudden not working, but it's still full, somebody may have, little Johnny may have gone in there and got himself high one day.
And I see a Rust-Oleum can here also. I've got that in my workshop at the house. Tell me about that.
Just the old sniffing paint. It's been around for a long time. It's any kind of can anymore, whether it be the paint, We have nail polish remover, plastic cements, all those types of things. Anything that has fumes on it, if you see it, you know, in your child's bedroom, someplace that it shouldn't be, are they doing that? Oftentimes now the dust off for the keyboards, we find those a lot. But you can inhale those. People actually get addicted to those.
Really? The dust off of the keyboards?
Yes.
Wow.
The propellant in it, because it's a chemical,
right,
it will get you high. So it just, and kids, like I said, they're not afraid, and they hear these things. They see it on the internet. They see it on social media. So they give it a try, and they don't understand how bad the things can be.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it can be very, very bad because they're inhaling a chemical. They're not getting oxygen, so it changes, you know, things in their brain, gives them that high feeling. Hopefully when they pass out, it just causes them to pass out. They start breathing again. There have been deaths from that across the country. I haven't had any in Santa Clarita, so at least not that I'm aware of. But they do happen.
Tell the parents about peer pressure, because a lot of this sometimes, isn't peer pressure enter into some of this?
Peer pressure does, and now we have, when you and I were younger, peer pressure was at school, and it ended when we left the school day.
Right.
Now peer pressure doesn't end. Peer pressure is there all day long. They carry it in their pocket.
The internet.
The internet. All their social media platforms. If your child is having difficulty with peer pressure, you have to get that social media device away from them. Because unfortunately now, the first and last things that kids see oftentimes is something on the internet. Whether it's a social media or just something on YouTube, it's always there. It used to be mom and dad were the first and last person our kids saw at the beginning of every day. That's not the case anymore. If we're sending them into their bedrooms at night with any kind of device that can get on the internet, their first and last contacts of the day are somebody outside the home. So parents really need to look at that and really think about having a place, having the bedroom and the night be a place where we don't have those influences, because we need to be those positive influences. The people on the other end are not necessarily looking out for our kids' well-being.
I tell parents all the time on the air, and also with some of the speeches that I give and some of the trainings that I give, you got to pay attention to what your kids are doing on the internet also, because kids are getting radicalized on the internet as well.
Yeah, there's ideas that are out there that may not go well with your family values and what you're trying to raise your children to be. So we have to have those times where we don't have those influences. So
right.
That's one of the big things we do now when we talk to parents about how to handle that. It's just have the stuff put away. Have a standard place in the house where all devices go. Devices don't go into the privacy of a bedroom. If it is, it's for a very short amount of time.
Search the rooms.
Search the rooms and just have a place, you know, a common space in the house where those things are used. You know, even if it's we're all sitting in the same room and not having the TV on and everyone's doing their internet stuff or their social media things in the same room, we can sit in the same room and each do our Facebook and not interrupt each other, but at least we're there. So if something, they're less likely, I think our kids are less likely to do something that we're not going to approve of if we're in the same room with them.
We only got a couple of minutes left, but this looks like glue. Is that glue?
Yes, that's just old glue, just old model glue,
right.
Nail polish, just anything that has fumes on it, we just need to pay attention to it. Our kids can inhale it, and it causes a feeling, and then yeah, they keep doing it.
I remember back in the day, people used to get, you know, we used to put models together. Remember those days?
Yeah, I think that's old model glue.
That's what I was saying. That's where I recognized that. It's old model glue. You know, it's almost like you had to use a face mask in order to be able to get through putting a model airplane together back in the day. Well, let me ask you a question. We've got about another minute or two. What final message would you think that you'd like to give parents out there?
Be parents. We're parents to our children. We're not their friends. There is a distinct difference. They have plenty of friends. We don't need to be their friends. We can have a friendly relationship, and we can be friends when they're in their 30s being adults and being productive. But when they're being raised, they need strong parents, and they need their parents to act like parents, not to act like their friends.
Yeah, we try to get that message across. You know, there's so many single parents out there now also, and some of these kids as they're coming up, they also know their rights. They always want to scream about their rights and things of that nature. I mean, we are living in different times with some of this.
We are, and that's where parents struggle sometimes. Is, you know, single parent families, you know, they have to get along, but kids truly want a strong parent in their life. If you are a strong parent, your kids will appreciate it. There's going to be battles. We've all had our battles. I've got five kids. I've gone through my battles, and sometimes they still happen. But you know, at the end of the day, they appreciate it.
Well, we hope so, because let's face it, they are the ones that's going to be running this show, you know, long after we're gone.
Yes.
So we hope that they're going to be on the right track, et cetera. Okay, listen, I really appreciate you coming out today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, I really appreciate that. Maybe at some point in the future we can do some follow-ups, you know, on some of this as well. I will be looking out for that October DEA collection and make sure I put that on the Internet as well. If you do get that date, I'd appreciate it if you'd let us know in case I miss out on that. I think that that's very important. I mean, these things about these drugs, the opioid crisis, everybody knows about it because it's been all over the news.
Yes.
And so the issue is not new. But again, I do thank you, and I also thank, you know, your station captain for letting you appear today. I think it's Captain Lewis, isn't it?
Yes.
Captain Lewis. So Captain Lewis, if you're listening, thank you very much for the opportunity to have William on the show. All right, you've been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show now. If you like what you heard, hey, spread the word. But until then, be aware, be vigilant, and be safe. But more importantly, be a reluctant victim. And thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.